Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Bonnie Kay from the Straight Wives Talk Show. And this is a very special segment that's dedicated to gay men who are in a situation of being married or thinking about getting married and confused about what to do. And a lot of men do come to me because they're having these internal conflicts about should they stay married. You know, they have all kinds of issues. And I thought this is really an important show because I have someone who's really wonderful to join me to help clarify those issues. And I think that after you listen to what he has to say, that many of you will understand what steps you need to take next in order to find the happiness that you deserve to find. And my guest is Dr. Brian Hooper, who's a state-licensed psychotherapist. He's a gay man, an ordained Lutheran pastor, and he practices from a psych-spiritual integrative perspective. Dr. Hooper is a fellow of the American Association of Pastoral Counselors and works with individuals and couples, gay and straight, or straight and gay, or a combination of both, shall I say. He has a specialty in working with gay men who experience an internal conflict between their affectional and erotic attraction to men and the lives that they are living. So I'd like to welcome you, Dr. Brian Hooper, to this show. And thank you so much for doing it with me.
It's a pleasure to talk with you. I always enjoy our chats.
Yes, and you've been so helpful in clarifying many things for the women that I work with. And I thought it was really important for you to clarify some of the issues for the men who come to me for help. And I'd like to make it clear to any man who's listening to this show that, you know, where my perspective is coming from, so we can start there, and then I think Dr. Hooper will take it from there. But I really do believe in my heart that when a gay man gets married to a straight woman, in his heart, 99% of the time, you know, his heart is pure in thought. And even if he's had past experiences or past thoughts or past attractions, he really does believe that if he loves a wife enough, that those feelings will disappear and that he won't have them in his mind anymore. There's no ill intent when you get married. You really do love the woman who you're marrying and hoping to build a family. You know, homosexuality isn't even an issue because of the fact that you really don't believe that you're gay. Even if you've had gay thoughts, gay attractions, and gay tendencies, it's not a way of life that you're looking for. And so you really are hoping against hope that this marriage is going to work. And when it doesn't, and when it starts falling apart in time, that's when you have to make some really important decisions on how to proceed for the rest of your life. So with that, I'm going to start asking Dr. Hooper some questions. And Brian, as I mentioned, you know, in the introduction, that you are a gay man, correct?
That is correct.
And I think it was not something that you knew for sure all your life, but something you felt or had a feeling about for many years.
Well, I would say as young as I can actually remember having attraction, I was attracted to men and not to women.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, you know, it's a lot of gay youth do, males do. I thought it was just something that was sort of odd and would go away and the attraction would kick in. And it didn't happen for me. You know, I tried to pray it away and to want it to go away and even to try talking with a therapist about it who really wasn't competent to handle it and didn't do a very good job with that. But, you know, I did at least know that I couldn't pull off marriage. I just, you know, as much as that would have been convenient, I just knew I couldn't do that. So I've actually known pretty much all my life.
Okay. And you were comfortable with it at what point?
Well, I really wasn't comfortable with it until after I had been ordained and was out in ministry and really had to wrestle with the fact that these feelings and these desires for really affection first, and you know, sexual attraction is important, but I long for there to be somebody in my life, and that's what really caused me to have to to take a second look at my whole belief system and all of that and begin to take it apart so I could put it back together again.
Was there any conflict in being gay and becoming an ordained minister?
Oh, sure. Although when I went into it, sort of like men who go into a straight marriage thinking that, you know, this is going to take care of everything, I went into the ministry thinking, well, I'll just be this happy, very content, celibate Lutheran pastor who finds all of his emotional satisfaction and, you know, in serving people. And found after I got in there that that didn't really change what was going on inside of me. Just as many men who marry find out, it doesn't change what's going on inside of them either.
Mm-hmm. So how did you reconcile it as far as being a religious person and being gay?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I had to go back and relook at how I understood the scripture, how I was looking at them in terms of their context. And this is what a lot of Christian gay men, and I would imagine conservative Jewish men do as well, as they look at Tanakh, that is the Torah, the Nevi'im, the Ketuvim, the Hebrew scripture. I really had to look at how I looked at that and looked at the passages in their context and then ask, were they really addressing what it means to be homosexual, or were they addressing something that was much more related to ritual practices in the day? And I came to the understanding that the Hebrew scripture and the Christian scripture really had no category that we would call homosexual. And in fact, that word itself was not even coined until around the time of Sigmund Freud. It wasn't Freud that coined it, but it was a contemporary of his that did coin the word. And from that point on, then we began to take a look at it as a discrete kind of orientation, not an aberration of straight orientation.
And I have so many men who come my way who are seeking support and help, and they feel so torn over the religious aspect of this.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult for me to give really good advice, you know, not being a Christian.
Right.
And
yeah,
I know that a lot of times I feel so conflicted because, you know, they're told in church growing up that homosexuality is evil and it's distorted, you know, depending on the denomination.
Right.
A lot,
yeah.
A lot of fundamentalists. And, of course, that's not just in church. That's in any religion. But,
right.
You know, with Christian people being very much more in tune to, you know, growing up in a Christian home and then marrying into a Christian family, they really feel this conflict that, you know, it's something that's very sinful and they need to just stay put and try to work this out somehow. I mean, what advice can you give them?
Well, first of all, I would say I think it's important to understand the significance of context in which we read these words in Scripture, and to look at translations. For instance, the words that get translated homosexual in the Revised Standard Version, for instance, of the Scripture, there is no such word as homosexual in the Greek language. It does not exist. There are a couple of different words that have been conflated together and then get translated using that word, but that word didn't even exist, as I indicated earlier, until the time of Sigmund Freud. So I think it's important to go back and take a look at the sources again and take a look and just realize, first of all, that word doesn't even appear in the Scripture. And then to ask the question as a Christian person, is my relationship with God based on keeping rules perfectly, or is it based on God's love for me and acceptance of me in Christ? That would be the Christian concern, Bonnie. And I would encourage folks, if they want an easy introduction to take a look at this, they should get a book entitled What the Bible Really Says About Homosexuality, by a fellow whose name is Helminiak. And if they want to go to my website under resources, they'll find that book listed there among many other resources, and they'll find his website as well. And they can go to my website at drbryanhooper.com, drbryanhooper.com, and they'll find that. I would encourage them to take a look at it.
Yes, and if you didn't have time to write down Brian's website address, you know, we're going to repeat it again at the end of the show. And also you can find it on, you know, as one of my top resources on my gayhusbands.com website, where you found me to start with. And you'll see Brian's name and information on, you know, the right-hand side, links for help for gay men. And I just feel, you know, my heart goes out to men who are happy to live a life that's not an authentic life. I mean, Brian, is it hard living a lie every day?
Yeah, it's hard doing that. It's even hard, you know. I was fortunate enough that I didn't have to outright lie, and I decided early on that to begin to get some integrity around this, I wasn't going to make up, you know, false girlfriends that didn't exist. But it's hard enough just living a life in which you can't talk about it. Period. I didn't realize how much pressure I was under, even in a very good situation. Where I didn't have people breathing down my neck about trying to figure out my orientation, I didn't realize how hard that was until after I had left it and the freedom that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and again, from a religious perspective, the message of Christianity is to call us out of a bondage and into a freedom, an integrity, the integration of our deepest values with how we express that in life. And it should be life-giving and life-affirming. And having to deny who you are at your core is anything but life-affirming, and it has nothing to do with good news. In fact, it's pretty bad news when you're told God loves you, but you're not quite acceptable to the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. Right, let me ask you this. For men who are in their marriages and have to make a decision on what to do as far as being honest with their wife,
right,
what is your advice to them? You know, because
well,
I have some men
all,
who say to me, well, maybe I could just leave the marriage. Do I really have to tell her? You know, it'll only hurt her if I tell her. You know, I can just say that, you know, a lot of couples don't work out. What is your feeling about that?
Well, first of all, I think the first thing they have to do is be honest with themselves, and come to grips with that. People who live fractured lives, compartmentalized lives, are never people who have a sense of being fully alive. Something is always missing, and that something that's missing is really a friendship with themselves at a really deep level. So, first of all, get in integrity with yourself and admit to yourself who you are. And there's all this business about saying, well, maybe she doesn't need to know, really goes back to our own self-loathing as gay men for ourselves. It's our own internalized homophobia, you know. And it's only fair for, I believe, the wife to know what's going on. You know, to own it and let her know. And I also want to say for gay men, and the wife finds out that he's gay, and then, you know, she's going to have 1,000 questions, and one of them may well be, you know, well, how long has this been going on? You know, has this been going on for a little while? Was this going on before you ever met me? The reason she wants answers to those kind of questions, guys, is because she's trying to make sense out of something that makes no sense. So help her out, be honest with her, and it's going to help her come to grips with it, and you might actually end up having a friend when the marriage comes to an end. Bonnie, what do you think about that?
I'll tell you what I think about that, Brian. I think that what men lose perspective of is that when you married this woman, you loved her and you promised to love and cherish her. And when things don't work out, it's not her fault. It's not because she wasn't the wife she needed to be. It's because you're a gay man. And
that's right.
As you were just saying, Brian, it's so important, if you are going to talk to your wife about it, to be honest. And I tell men, say that you've always had conflicting feelings. You didn't quite understand them. You were hoping they would go away. But if you say, no, these feelings didn't happen until we were married, then right away it's like putting the blame on her. Like,
exactly.
You know, on one level, if you would have been a better wife or if you would have met my needs. And
right.
I do have a lot, you know, men who go and tell this to their wives. Not the men who come to me, but their wives who come to me tell me these stories and then blame them. And I
right.
think, how cruel can you be? I mean, you can't blame your wife that you're gay, but they do.
Yeah. And for those men, I would say to them, you know, where does that need the lie come from? And I believe it comes from a lack of ability to be honest with themselves and truly accept themselves. There's still some deep conflict going on. So I would say man up and let her know what's going on. And come, you know, it's hard. It's hard to let go a lot of past images of ourselves. But in order to become fully who we are, we need to do that. So, no, you weren't half straight and half gay. You were gay. Own it and tell her that and tell yourself that and be honest.
And I think that I always tell men it's going to be the worst day of your life so far.
Yep.
You know, when they say to me, well, what can I expect? I like to be upfront and say it'll be the worst day that you've ever had to live so far.
Right.
I said, but once the truth comes out and the day ends, the day is over.
That's right.
And you can't move ahead until you at least come to the, you know, come to the front of the line there, I feel. What do you feel on that?
Well, I just went through this with a client of mine. I said, listen, it was, you know, we went from before he told till, you know, today, and it's after he's told. And what he said to me was, before he said, this is going to be awful. And I said, yep. This is your Good Friday, but you don't get to an Easter without a Good Friday. But it will get better. It will get worse first, but it will get better after that. And he said to me just recently, he said, yep, you were right. I've been through my Good Friday, and I've got a new life now that I can begin to live with some integrity.
And I think that's the important thing for men to know, that this isn't the end of the world. And one of the things that I wanted to bring up that maybe you can address also, a lot of men tell me they're really hesitant to make a move or to be honest because of the children, that they feel that, you know, when the news comes out, they're going to lose their children.
Yeah.
But in my experience, I have found that this is not a reason why people lose children.
Yeah.
You know, children love their parents. And they can learn to accept their father's homosexuality as long as he's emotionally and financially responsible to them.
Right.
If he walks away and he feels like, well, I have a life to live now and I'm busy, then they're going to lose that child. And it has nothing to do with the mother turning the child against them or the homosexuality. It's more because of the irresponsibility. That's what I found in my experience. How do you feel about that?
You're absolutely dead on right. First of all, kids are really smart. They're very intuitive. They pick up on conflict. They know something's going on. And they need to know the conflict between mom and dad is not their fault. It's mom and dad's issue. Then, and that's true no matter what the reason for a divorce is that comes along, if it's straight people or gay people, okay? Gay man and a straight woman. Kids need to know they're not at fault. Number two, I agree with you. If they're upfront and let the child know in a way that's age appropriate for whatever the developmental stage is that the child's in, it's going to go much better. I can think of one situation where, you know, the child is off in college and the father hasn't really come clean and let the child know what's really going on and name it. And it's very difficult for this young adult child to feel that you know, Dad's just not, how can I have an honest relationship with my father when he's not really being honest with me? So,
and I think that's another point that I'd like to bring out to men is that I know it's hard for women and men, you know, for the wives as well, many times they say, well, we don't want our children to find out. I mean, I think that's a really bad message. I think that it's saying, like, there's something really wrong with being gay.
Yeah.
And I think that's the whole aspect problem, you know, that, first of all, I do know that as a fact, because I've done research on this for nearly 30 years, is you have a gay parent, your chances of having a gay child are double.
That's right.
And, you know, that's why I do believe that gay is definitely genetic, and I've seen it run in families, and very often women do have a gay child. I know I certainly had a lesbian daughter, and... Mm. You know, I was fine with it. You know, I loved my daughter. It didn't matter about her sexuality. But the thing is that they're so afraid that the children are going to find out. Like, what is so horrible? That people are born differently? That you tried your best? It didn't work out because that's not who you are? I think that a lot of times parents don't realize, and fathers as well, is that children really know a lot of times and they're just not saying anything. Because
the
kids
truth.
Today are so sophisticated, right?
That's right, they are. And what we need to do is what's so important, is to model how as an adult, when we recognize we've made a mistake, we deal with it in an upfront way that has integrity to it, and we move on. And if you engage in denial, then you know there that lacks that dimension of honesty, and teaches a wrong way to deal with mistakes that one makes in their life. So, yeah, own it. Let your adult or child know, your young adult or your child know what's going on, and own it and model how it is that we, you know, deal with our issues in life.
And I still say that, you know, secrets really destroy families because, you know, I know the children who have come to me, these are adult children, they said they knew about their father's homosexuality. They found, you know, porn, they found all kinds of things around the house, so they knew for sure. And they felt so torn because they were afraid to go to their mother, or if they confronted their father and said, I think mom should know this. I've had fathers who have said, well, if you tell it to her, you know, it could break up the marriage, it'll destroy her life. You know, they put the child in to be the keeper of their secret. And
right.
I think that this really psychologically really hurts children. Then they feel guilty later on. You know, they see their mothers are crying and upset because they don't know what's wrong in the marriage, and they have that secret to keep. And I just don't feel that this is fair to do to children at all.
No, it's not. Anytime we place children in between one parent and another, you know, we're not being the adult. We're trying to foist responsibility onto the child, and it tears kids up. And it also alienates them from the parent that's doing that to them as well.
And, you know, I often tell my women, if you want to come to the, you know, I have a support chat online, and if you want to come there and vent and say the worst things about your, you know, husbands or ex-husbands, I'm happy to listen. I'd rather you vent it there than to vent it in front of your children. Because children are made up of two parents, a mother and a father. And when you're sitting and knocking your husband, you're not just knocking him, you're knocking your child. That's how a child perceives it. And
yeah,
I understand why women are angry, and I know this is the worst, you know, thing that they can ever imagine happening. But they need to deal with it and not look for allies with their children. I tell that to the women, but I tell the men the same thing.
Yes, I would agree.
Your children can't be your support group. You need to find adults to do that and try to leave the children out of it and just have a parent-child, you know, relationship with them.
Exactly.
So have you met many men who were really torn with this issue, and what do you advise them?
So, you know, what I would advise them, and the answer is yes, I've met many men who are torn by this. What I would advise them is this. Let's just sit down and talk about why it was you got married in the first place. And I have to echo for your listeners, Bonnie, exactly what you said in the beginning of the program. I don't believe that the vast majority of men who marry women, they're gay men, do this with any malice. I believe they really get married because they think that they're doing the right thing. They're not necessarily in head over heels in love with the woman that they're marrying, but they have a romance going with the idea of being married and the idea of having children and a family, and it fits into their parents' expectations and perhaps their community's expectations, and that all feels good and comfortable. And so sometimes they say, well, I just kind of think that I can make this work because I like these other things enough that I want to hang in there. And I would say to them, but it's never really going to work. It's not fair to your wife. It's a sham. And it lacks authenticity to it. You're not going to be satisfied at a deep level. She isn't, and your kids are going to know something's wrong. So,
all right, let me ask you this. I have men who struggle so much with the issue of gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have sexual attractions to men. They're turned on by gay porno. But they still say, I don't equate this with being gay, that all men have these things going on. And sometimes they say, well, I'm not really gay, you know, I'm bisexual because I'm married.
Yeah.
And I love my wife, therefore I must be, you know, bisexual, even though we fantasize about men and not having relationships with women. So how is it you feel that these men are not able to accept the fact they're gay? If this is what they're thinking about.
I think it's largely cultural, myself, that, you know, we're still a pretty homophobic culture, and because they're married and how things are socially defined, they say to themselves, well, then I must not be gay because I'm married. Look, see, there's the proof. You know, I think I said to you one time, well, I've been to a couple of Passover Seders and a Bar Mitzvah. It doesn't make me Jewish, you know.
Exactly.
And, just because a person gets married doesn't make them straight either.
And I think what confuses them is that when they're younger, like in their 20s or even in their 30s, they're able to sexually perform with women.
Sure.
And I think that's really confusing to them. And I understand that. You know, you're able to perform with a woman who you love, and you're even able to enjoy it to a certain, you know, point. It's still sexual activity. And in your 20s, I think almost any kind of feel, you know, touch, you know, or touch, you know, feels good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where a lot of men get confused. How do you approach them with this? They tell you, well, look, you know, I've had sex with my wife. I have children. How could I be gay?
Then if you're so fine with everything, why are you sitting here talking with me about this? You know, the reality is that they find themselves more drawn, fascinated by, attracted to other men than they do their own wife.
Do you feel it's pretty clear cut? Because I do. I mean, others don't.
Yeah.
I'll say that sexuality is on a spectrum, and you could be, you know, a one predominantly heterosexual with gay fling, or, you know,
yeah,
all the way on the Kinsey scale, which I think is ridiculous. You know, I think if you're gay, you're gay. I don't think there's a little gay and a lot of gay.
It's a very difficult kind of thing to do research on, as you can well imagine, because what we're dealing with is people's self-report, and their self-report can often be influenced by, you know, their cultural situation. So in the theoretical sense, I'm open to the idea that there are people who are truly bisexual, but in reality, what I can continue to observe is that they're 80% at one end of the scale or at the other end. You know, they've been able to perform with the opposite sex, and I think that gay men can confuse companional love, that is, the warmth and companionship with a woman who is, in many cases, really their best friend. They married their best friend, but it lacks the erotic attraction and the deep kind of emotional connection that they long for with a man.
So do you think if a man is sitting and watching gay porno, that's a really good indication I don't believe that straight men sit and watch gay porno. I mean, that's my feeling.
I don't believe that they do either.
Right. They're not going to be turned on by it. And even if they were curious, like some men say, well, I was curious. I hate to tell you some of the things that, you know, I've had men tell me, you know, like they're just watching it to compare themselves or they want to see how other men look.
Yeah.
But I think it's just really difficult.
Most of us, gay or straight, in terms of the comparison business, we were done with that in junior high school and moved on, you know? So if you're looking beyond that, it's probably because you're really attracted to it. And so let's be honest about that. Straight men do not sit around and watch gay porn.
Ryan, I think another really important point I'd like to make to men who are listening to this is that I think that life would be so much easier if every gay man, by the time he was 5 years old, said, oh, I know I'm gay. And I can tell because I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And that would make it so much easier. They could come to terms with themselves. But I don't think that, you know, even though men may know they're different or they may have these attractions, they may not identify it as gay till later on. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that gay impacts at different ages. I'm not saying that you don't always know something's a little different. But I don't know if it's quite as defined to everybody at the same point. Would you say that it is or not?
No, I don't think it is defined for many at the same point. And again, I think it's because there are so many cultural overlays on what's expected. And we learn very, very early on to censor ourselves. And, little boys learn early on because of things that are said in the household by parents and by other kids in the neighborhood, how not to sit, how not to walk, how not to do some things with physical gestures because those are unacceptable, where not to look and where to look, what to talk about, what not to talk about. And when we're exposed to an environment that is really very homophobic, then what we tell ourselves is, oh, I can't be feeling those feelings that I'm feeling, so I try to ignore them. Well, the reality is you can push them down one place, but they'll come up someplace else.
And I think a lot of times with men also who are younger, you know, they've heard so many stories, once again going back to when I was growing up, from Dr. Kinsey and other people like him, that all males fool around, you know, 87% of all males have same-sex, you know, encounters at some point in their life, which I don't know if that's really true or not. But, you know, just because you have male encounters doesn't mean you're gay. And I think they're really holding on to that hope, you know, that they've been fed that, you know, or even by some of the churches that also feel that way. Could you address that?
Yeah, so it's not unusual for children, straight and gay, to engage in some sexual experimentation, that kind of thing, the old business about playing doctors, we used to call it. And that's not unusual, but if it's you know, late junior high, high school, and beyond, and kids are continuing to engage in this behavior, it's a good indication that there's a same-sex attraction that's going on, especially if kids are maturing younger and younger these days.
I think that it's just been a really strong expectation by society that if you are gay, then you're going to be an outcast. But I think it takes a lot of courage, and I tell this to men all the time. I know it's not easy to be gay, and
yeah.
I think, it has to be the hardest thing to come to terms with it, then in your marriage to have to come to terms with your wife. I do want to say that I don't believe there's ever a good time, and they ask me, what's the best time to tell her? You know, or should I wait? Should I wait till the kids grow up? No, I think the best time to tell is now.
Yeah,
you know,
I would say as soon as you become aware of this conflict inside and how difficult it is, that's the time to tell. You know, I'd like to touch on something that I see people get confused about, and I think it can be helpful for some of the men who may be listening. So if I can take just a couple moments to talk about this. I'd like to talk about the distinction between gender identity, gender expression, biological sex and sexual orientation. And biological sex is, of course, what are your measurable, you know, characteristics? In other words, what are, you know, chromosomally, what are you? What are your hormones? What genitalia do you have? Are you male? Are you female? Or, in some rare cases, intersex. So a person could say, well, I'm male. I have, you know, male sexual genitalia. So, okay, we've got that. And then there's gender identity. And he says, well, yeah, I'm a man and I'm comfortable being a man. So I'm, you know, does that make me straight? And then there's gender expression, which is about, does a person comport themselves in a way which is socially referred to as feminine or masculine? Well, I'm on the masculine end of that. So I'm biologically a male, and I identify with that. I feel comfortable with being a man, and I carry myself in a masculine way. But then the fourth one is orientation. So just because a person's at home in their own body and they affirm their own sex and they, you know, they feel male in their head doesn't mean that they won't have attraction to the same sex. That's the fourth category, which is orientation. So what I want to say to the many of the straight men who are listening, you may not fit what you think is the gay stereotype, but it doesn't mean that you're straight. Listen to what's going on inside and own that and claim it as part of your significant identity.
I think that's really good advice, and I know it's really difficult advice, but for those men who are listening to this show, it's because you're already coming to terms with what's going on in your life. And you just need that support and that encouragement to take the next steps to come to terms with yourself. And I know many of you feel bad because of the fact that you feel you've lied and deceived. I mean, you feel terrible when you come to me feeling that you've done all these terrible things. But the point is that we all survive to the best of our ability. The important thing is that now you can move ahead and do what's right to do for the whole family, not, you know, for yourself, but also for this woman who's loved you to the best of her ability, and she deserves to know why the problems are in the marriage, that she's not responsible for them. And as Brian said, if you're honest, then you have a decent chance of having a friendship later on, and especially when there are children involved, you know, the most important thing is to have a friendship, and, you know, whenever possible. That doesn't mean you have to be a family. I like to try to work people into being, you know, remaining a family just under a separate life. But, you know, when you have children, you have to, you know, join in together sometimes and do things together.
Exactly.
Because you have different school activities and different sports activities. You don't want to have to sit and be enemies. But if you can be honest with your wife and come to terms with it and help her come to terms with it, you can be friends again. And I can speak to that as someone who is friends with her ex-husband. And we've had many wonderful experiences together. Even though we can't live together, we could still be a family. Have you found that to be true, too?
I would echo every word that you've said in complete agreement with you, Bonnie. And I'd like to add another little piece to that. Part of what often holds men back is they say to themselves, my God, who am I apart from my identity as the family man, the husband, the father, who am I? And that often scares them to death. And what I want to say is, you're not alone in feeling that feeling. The hardest day of your life will be telling your wife and your kids. But after that, then the ongoing difficult labor begins, and it's also a very exciting journey to find out who you really are. Have a good therapist who is himself a gay man or is very conversant and comfortable with the development of gay identity, of who you are and embracing that and helping you walk through that and begin to reconnect with the core of who you are. it's really worth it. You'll be glad you did.
And so before we end, I would like to mention a few things about you, Brian, that, you know, I'm so thrilled that you are accessible to people, even if you're not living immediately in their area, because you're in Tennessee, but people from anywhere in the country can access your services because you do counseling and therapy through Skype, correct?
Yes, I do. I do counseling and I do coaching via Skype. And
telephone.
Pardon me?
And through the telephone.
And through the telephone, exactly. You know, and if I believe that there's something that's a major disturbance, that they need to speak with a local psychotherapist, in other words, if they've got a real significant depression or anxiety disorder, something like that, I'll refer them. I won't abandon them. But mostly what guys need is somebody to help them walk on this journey and do some self-examination and make some really good decisions. And I'm very happy to do that via Skype, via phone. They can reach me via my website. They'll find all of my contact information there, my phone number, my email address, and all of that.
Right. You know, like I say, Brian is very accessible, and he's been wonderful help to many of our support group members already over this past year. And I know people feel so much better after getting help from you. So if you need help and you need support and you're looking for the best therapist you can find in this particular field, because this is a man who can really help you move to your next level, you can get in touch with Dr. Brian Hooper. And let's give them your website again.
Okay, it's www.D as in David, R as in Roger, Brian, B-R-I-A-N, Hooper, H-O-O-P as in Paul, E-R, .com, drbrianhooper.com.
If you didn't have a chance to write that down, you can definitely go to my site at gayhusbands.com, the same way that you contacted me originally on my website, and look for the links on the right-hand side, and you'll see Brian's information there. Or you can just write me a note at bonk@aol.com, and I will send you Brian's information. So I hope that those men who listen to this broadcast will find a little comfort and realize that you're not alone in your journey, that you're on the same journey as millions of other men who are going through these feelings and living this life that has to be changed for into a better place, and that there's help and resources along the way. And Dr. Brian Hooper is certainly the man that can make that path easier for you. So, Brian, I want to thank you so much. I see our time is running out, but, you know, I appreciate you doing this show for our men who come to me, and I hope that it's really going to be as helpful for them as it is for all the women that you've helped in our network as well.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Bonnie. You're doing some phenomenal work with those wives, and I want to help these men who have had the integrity to write to you and talk about it. You know, that takes real...
I know. I love my men who come to me because, to me, it's, you know, to come to me, a counselor who's really working with straight wives because they really care enough about their wives to do the right thing.
They're being mensch, aren't they? I mean, they're really owning up, and they have the power and the strength to move on, and I want to help them access that core and do that.
Absolutely. So, Brian, I really appreciate it, and I will just say that I really love you, and I know that you'll really be a wonderful resource for these guys.
Well, thanks, Bonnie. I love you, too, and I appreciate all the good work you're doing in this world, helping it make them, making it a much more whole and happy place. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, guys, if you need any help, support, you know where to come now. Have a great night, and I'll talk to you soon again, Brian.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.